You're listening to Punisher Waterfowls, the Union 0430 podcast. Brought to you by Real Geese Decoys, the most technologically advanced silhouette decoy on the market. First Light, the best hunting gear on the planet. Go farther, stay longer. And Ducklander Calls, tradition, education, and quality, built to hunt.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Union 0430 podcast, episode 179. Yep. And, you know, we got a guest on this week, so we're gonna jump right into it. So we've got Eric Stella from the Decoy Daddy. I got it right because I fucked it up. I fucked it up last week and I said the other name. And as I said it, Craig is messaging me and he's saying, and he's messaging me, no, you're saying it wrong. You're saying it wrong. And then you messaged me and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake.
One idiot. Job.
It's too easy to mess up. So,
dude, I've got to purposely like take a second and make sure I get the fucking name right.
Yeah.
It's just too close.
You're like one of those old fellas like Don Cherry or something. It doesn't matter how the name's supposed to be pronounced. You're going to say it how you want to anyway.
Well, yeah. This is true.
It's like Mario's last name. There's no L in Friendly.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Just blew his mind.
We just let you run with it every time. Mario Friendly. It's not Friendly. There's no L.
Oh.
The only L is the one on your forehead.
Fuck you, Phil.
Good job, Phil.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. You've been fucking holding on waiting for that one for a while.
Buddy, all day. Not really.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we get going too far here, I do have to thank our show sponsors, Real Geese, which is awesome because, you know, we're sponsored by Real Geese and Craig is such a great dude and, you know, talk to Craig and I'm like, so what do you think of bringing on another silhouette company? And he's like, no, absolutely. He said, do it. He said, competition is good and people need options. So he was like, 100% do it. So, got to give a big thanks to Craig Mintz from Real Geese and Bobby Hayes from Ducklander Call and the whole team over at First Light. And of course, the voice of the Union 0430, Mr. Jeff Coates. Thank you for that. And to anybody, if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel or our podcast, please do, because it really do make a difference when it comes to us talking to people and we're talking about how many people listen and watch the show. So thank you so much for that. So we'll get on with it. So as usual, Mark's coming to us from outside Embrum, Nova Scotia. Billy is in Port Perry. Craig is in Wabashine. Eric, where are you at, buddy?
I'm in my fucking garage.
Nice.
I'm in Hamilton.
The hammer.
In the hammer. Oh. Yeah.
Chris Myers got her.
I see the roof in Hamilton, eh?
Yeah, that? We're running this out of the garage right now.
Oh, I shingle the roof in Hamilton.
That is where all big businesses start.
For every...
Yeah, for sure.
Every bundle of shingles we put up, we drank a couple beer.
Yeah.
And then after about six or eight bundles of shingles, we had to stop doing the roof and go to the shed.
Yeah, because everyone was drunk. Everyone was drunk.
Realized they were on the neighbor's house.
Yeah, no doubt. I did want to get right into it though, Eric. You know, you were and I remember during the refuge I had done a video and talked about you being there in the refuge, and I had talked about how you're this new business that's on the scene here in Ontario and you are getting a lot of attention and a lot of positive attention. I don't think you're getting any negative attention. I think it's all positive.
Sure, it's coming.
well, no, you know what? Maybe not, dude. Like, if you haven't hit anything negative yet, you're probably not going to.
Yeah.
Probably not, because the haters would have been jumping all over you by now.
100%. I think getting into the refuge was a fantastic opportunity for us to really get out there early in our, like, we're in our infancy essentially right now. So being able to get in front of so many people in such a positive environment, it really separated us, I think.
Well,
and we're seeing some traction.
Well, and listen, like everybody there that week, and Phil and Merck and Craig, you guys were there, and you know, like there was a lot of people through that area, but you were consistent the entire 4 days. Like, you had people hanging around your booth the entirety of that Toronto Sportsman Show.
Yeah.
So, you know, without you getting too personal or anything like that, you know, what were the conversations that fellas and girls were having with you when they were coming up and talking to you about your product? Like, what was the bit?
We've seen you guys on Instagram. You know, we've seen the products, and it's hard to get a gauge on the quality of the product until you're holding it, right? So absolutely. We had some orders before the show. But at the show, once people, you know, being completely new, people coming in to say, you know, we saw it, but we weren't sure about it. And now once they felt it and they held it and I got to meet them, I got to like kind of explain our story. People loved it. Like the reception was fantastic, and people, you know, they appreciated the attention to detail that we have in them. Yeah. And then the innovative, like the products, like the hook.
That's amazing. Like, I got to tell you that hook is,
I got, yeah, that was, I'm going to show you guys something real quick. Let me grab it.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. Hey, and everybody that's watching, sorry to those that are just listening, but if you're watching and you see where Eric is working at of right now, just keep a mental picture of this, because in 10 yeah. years it's going to be a fucking in 10 years yeah. it's going to be a warehouse with a proper office. So
I hope so. Yeah, this is my goal today was to come home and clean it, but we're doing a whole bunch of other stuff in life right now, so getting into here to organize stuff, I was like, fuck it, this is what we're living with, this is how we're doing. Yeah, it so
that's it, man. That's it.
I gotta show you guys the prototype for the hook.
Is that out of a piece of insulation?
Styrofoam. Yeah.
I think styrofoam.
Yeah. So I drew it on paper, put it on cardboard, cut the cardboard, put the cardboard over this, and then I was able to carve this out, right? So that's how I pitched my idea, and I said, this is what I want. You know, put your hand in here, go by, bang, 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 couple of revisions back and forth, and that's what we landed with. So we were super, super stoked to be able to produce this, how we did first shot, basically. And it was exactly what I wanted in the product.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, what I told a lot of people at this show is, I'm not an inventor by any means, but I'm lazy. I'm lazy. And everyone's hunted over a million silhouettes. And, you know, when you're picking up silhouettes, you get 10, 12, 15 in your hand. They're jumping all over. They're falling. And at one point during the pack up, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you guys don't do this, but we do, is at one point during the dismantle, somebody's job is to sit at the bag and unfuck the decoys and put them in and sort it out. Because eventually, once you're bringing,
that's right, it's just you can mess. Never fit them all back in properly just
no,
by throwing.
No,
them
no,
in.
It's and you got three guys standing over the bag staring at each other. So this hook came as you can go into the bag, scoop up 30 of them, then go and put them out, and then at the end of the hunt, you just go scoop them up and you plop them in the bag and you just push them off the hook. It's such a simple, stupid idea, but we're lazy. So
does it come in bottom land?
No, because all the camos are they're all patented. That's how we created our hat. The camo patterns are all patented. You can't really just like throw your logo on it, right? So when I started looking at it, yeah, right, you got to give them. So I said, all right, well, I made it this far, I'll just make my own camo and see what happens. So we made that duck camo hat. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah, I see.
A lot of guys like that. And, you know, we went back and forth a little bit on colors and stuff. And that's what we landed on. And we were super stoked. And to have that kind of, from afar, you don't really know what it is. But when you're close up,
yeah,
you see it. And it's like, oh, okay, that's kind of neat. So another thing that we're pretty proud
different
of. That,
too, you know, right?
Yeah, it's definitely.
What'd you say, Craig?
Yes, it's something different.
Yeah, it is. It is something. It's something totally different. Which I think is what felt like there's a very large community of people out there that I think that's what they want. They just want to do something different every once in a while, and they don't want to be the same. Like, not everybody is like Phil, where everything has to be in fucking bottom land.
My hat's cash.
Well, your hat's cash, yes. So between cash and bottom land.
Everything's better in bottom
land. Yeah. That was the original, right? Bottom land was the original camel pattern for
one of them, yeah.
For Mossy Oak, I think it was the original.
Buck was going to say something. Oh, Eric, for the love of God, if you like become like a kajillionaire, like this blows up and you like bankrupt dive bomb, that little pink foam piece of plastic, whatever you want to call it, like the original prototype.
Yeah.
Buddy, you got to save that and stick that to the wall.
Oh, that like, got to
frame it.
This is where I started. Was this stupid little piece of foam?
Yeah, so this is it.
Well,
that's it.
No, but it's very true. Like I remember watching Duck Dynasty back in the day, and I remember they found Phil Robertson's original sketches of his duck calls, so they found it was in a like. Typical Phil Robertson, well, or I assume typical Phil Robertson, not something that was scripted for TV, and maybe it was, but they found it in a fucking shed on his property, and it was
just shelled away.
Yeah, and it was his original sketches, and then there was like the AutoCAD drawings of his tone board and stuff like that. So which was really cool, right? To look back on something and say, fuck, look at where it started and look at where
especially
it is
so many years later after they had made it, right?
Yeah.
And they completely forgot about where they like almost where they started, where like he probably doesn't remember that first initial drawing. Like and you're right. I probably one day this probably won't be a thought in my brain, but you're absolutely right. I should throw it in like a shadow box.
Fucking right, you should.
I was just gonna
if
say
it goes
that.
Somewhere.
They're just going to say we'll see it in like 40 years on an auction in a shadow box or something.
Yeah, hopefully. That'd be cool.
So
it's,
you,
yeah.
So you talked about, you know, people coming up to you at the show, and I'm sure it's not just at the show. It's anytime you talk to anybody, especially, and correct me if I'm wrong, but being a new guy on the block now, like everybody's reaching out to you, right? Like everybody wants to know, okay, what are you all about? Where, you know, a million different questions because you're the new kid on the block, right? So
hey, can I be a staffer?
Yeah, lots of that. Lots of that.
Fuck, I can just
do you have
imagine.
An ambassador program?
Do you have an ambassador program? Or the best one was, hey, I just signed up for your ambassador program.
Oh, really? Oh,
that was a good one. I'm like, yeah, that's not me, guys. Unfortunately, like we're not running it. And, a lot of I yielded a lot of those conversations. And our response to that is like, and I've had this conversation with my wife and stuff, and the reason we're not running an ambassador program, sorry to go off topic.
No, keep going.
The reason we're not running an ambassador program is like, we're brand new. So there's a lot of people haven't shot over our decoys. We have, and we don't have a brand worth representing for a lot of people. Right. And so the guys that are reaching, I want to be a brand ambassador. It's like, you know, have you even seen our decoys? Have you felt them? Have you had a full conversation with me? Do you know where my head's at? Because I know in that position, like if I'm going to align myself with a company and vice versa, if I'm going to align myself with somebody who wants to represent my company, I'm responsible for your actions.
Mm-hmm.
So people that, you know, when the time comes, and it will come, I'm sure, right? There's a grand reach. There's a purpose for those. I get that. But let me create a brand that people want to be a part of. Let me create more of this shit, more buzz, mm-hmm. and that people want to, you know, hook into and sink their teeth into. And then we start to vet people and whatever, because what I worry about and what you see is, if you're repping my t-shirt, you got a sticker on your truck, you got this, you got that, and you get an impaired, you get whatever, you know, it can go south as quickly as possible.
It'll go south a lot quicker than it went north. I can tell you that.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where like, we're taking our time and sure, there's that little bit of a, we should just do it. Oh, we should just do it. But I'm trying to keep that under wraps because we need to stay to our roots, and our integrity is we need to build a brand that people want to be a part of. And I want people to look at us and look at our decoys and you know, a picture of a goose is a picture of a goose. But I want them to look at us and go, hey, I like your brand. I like your integrity. I like your vision and where you're headed. And I want to be a part of the bigger picture. Those are the people that I want to be in my camp. And I think that's very important.
Yeah, you're going to have people show up along the way that are going to be full supporters of you.
Yeah.
And they're going to be dedicated hunters. And I'm guessing people who support you, who already purchased your product, are going to be the kind of people you're going to want on board, not someone who's come along for a free ride.
Yeah. We've got tons of that, eh? Like, I want to be an ambassador and, da, 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 and you know, or send me, if you send me 5 dozen, I'll take pictures for you.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Well, that's like, Craig. That's Craig Lalonde. That's what Craig does. Craig goes around everywhere trying to fucking get free shit.
Yeah.
I gotta get that
the discount codes.
I gotta get that in there because Craig Lalonde is the anti-ambassador, I would say. Is that a fair statement, Craig? I would say you're an anti-ambassador because you just don't want anybody, like, you don't want anybody thinking that you're doing it to get free shit.
Yeah. And it's like, for me, it's like growing up, it was just kind of whatever I could afford or just whatever kind of came around. So I've never like just decked myself out with a certain brand or whatever. And I was going to say too, like, if you've got these people jumping at you before you're even offering anything or before you've really got a solid brand, it's like, well, what does that tell you about them? Right. Like, exactly. They're just jumping into it for themselves and their own motivations. And that's the kind of stuff, like myself personally, I can't handle.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's where we're at. Like, we don't want to be farmed. We don't want to be farmed. Yeah. We're a small, young business. We got all of our own money into this. More than originally anticipated. I'll tell you that.
That's the case.
Yeah. Right. No. Like, you can do this with a couple grand.
Yeah. Like fuck. Yeah. Like,
you can't.
Are we going to see you on Dragon's Den soon? Or
no, I wouldn't want to be farmed like by those guys either. get fisted by a dragon? No, thanks.
but we haven't. We spent a lot of time, you know, a year ago, a year and a half ago on this show, where that was a common theme of something that we talked about a lot was the brand ambassadors and the pro staff and the people that were knocking on doors and asking, you know. So very similar, you know, we had Rusty Heron on one time, and a guy wrote Rusty and was talking about Rusty's duck calls and how awesome they were. And he wanted to get on board with Rusty, and Rusty don't fucking
doesn't make
duck calls, you know? And then therefore you get a guy that reaches out, hey, I signed up for your ambassador. No, so you haven't even taken the time to know. And listen, I'm not throwing shade, and I guess I am, but good on you if that's what you want to do. But you can't expect a company to start fucking doing backflips and sending stuff to you if you don't even have, if you can't even know the name of the company. And And this is coming from me, someone that butchered your fucking name on the last episode, and you were in the refuge with me, right? But you know, it is what it is, man. But I tell you, you can look at it in a number of different ways, but look at it with a glass half full type of mentality, that it's a good thing. So obviously, people are noticing you, and they're buying into the buzz, right? So there's a buzz. Yep. There's a buzz coming on about Decoy Daddy, and
yeah, there definitely is, for sure.
And so therefore, people want to be part of that buzz. They want to be part of this new and up and coming business that's you know, that's doing very, very well for itself. And like I said, there's a lot of buzz for you. So, but I want to get back to, you know, what you had said when you were talking about in the refuge. You know, people were asking about your story and stuff. It's like, I want to know your story, because I don't know your story. I didn't get a chance to really chat with you when we were at the refuge.
We've got I think we have a pretty boring story. Like, I started hunting 6-7 years ago. Like, I met my group of buddies, and they all hunted. I didn't hunt. I just fished. So we went fishing. That's when I met them fishing. And you know, we got really close, and my buddy Matt, he's Bands and Spurs on Instagram. Yep. He's like, go get a gun. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to go bird hunting. And I was kind of like, I don't have anybody in my family that's ever hunted. I'm the first. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I went out, got a gun. And the first birds I ever shot was I doubled on black ducks. I got Jesus. Two black ducks. It was my first kill. And I was like, damn.
Mine too. But I didn't double on them, but my first bird was a black duck. Sorry.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And I was like, shit. And that's when you realize you're stuck, right? Yeah. When you get that first kill, and like with your buddy, it's just it's a fantastic, fantastic time. So that's when I you know, I picked up hunting. And when I go into stuff, I bury myself in it. And then it was like any weekend I could go, I was gone, right? In the afternoon, I was gone. If we could do it, turkey, like I hunted every day. I stalked the shit out of this one turkey on this property. And we called him Big Dick Rick, BDR was for short. He was a big, big Tom. And I chased him around like a complete asshole for the entire season. And I got him on the last day.
Wow.
Which was
good for you.
Fantastic. It couldn't have been a better story. But anyways, so I got into that. And then, you know, as we get into waterfowl and you bury yourself in a waterfowl and you buy everybody here is going to know, right? You buy a dozen decoys, a dozen decoys, a dozen decoys. All of a sudden you have a garage full of shit. And a mortgage payment on all of it.
Yeah.
And so we were sitting in the blind last year and we were like just bitching about the price of decoys. And I was like, I wonder if we could do this. I did some research and one thing led to the next. I was like, okay. So we kind of organized all that. And then, you know, somebody asked me, how'd you come up with Decoy Daddy? It was like out of the blue. It just hit me. I was in bed, I think. And I just got up one day and I was like, Decoy Daddy. Like, that's just a fun name. And like, I'm the kind of guy where any situation that I can make funnier, I try and do it. Like, that's just who I am. Like, I'm super, it takes a lot to irritate me. And I thought it was a fun name. So I was like, yeah, that'll work, whatever. So now we're kind of building this brand and it seems to be working. People think it's funny. There's so many people walk by Decoy Daddy. Oh, that's hilarious. And then, you know, I just shot the shit with them. And yeah, so that's kind of what brought us to that point. Like I haven't been hunting for 30 years by any means, no crazy background. Just, I love it. I enjoy it. It's a passion of mine and being able to be so close and have so much control over what we're doing. And I love that. I love being able to innovate and coming up with the hooks and our bags, right? With the metal clasps, like these guys, right? So here.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you saw it, but like these are all metal, right? So
yeah,
being able to make changes like that essentially to the industry, because I know what's gonna happen. Everybody knows what's gonna happen. People are gonna jump on board with that because the amount of people that have broken $200 bags and clips, and then now they're garbage, or because you know they don't have somebody to put a new one on, or what have you, or they don't want to deal with it. Right? The industry is going to follow that, and it's going to be kind of cool because here I am sitting in my garage, and I bet you there's going to be big companies in the future that are going to be changing their ways because of some asshole out of Hamilton.
Very true, and it is like no. You don't have to explain it any differently. Like it is true when something works and what is it they say? Imitation is the best form of flattery. You know, so yeah, take those good things. I laugh at people when, you know, there's a couple groups that Phil and I belong to on social media where, you know, there's some companies that just get fucking ripped apart and they say, well, you're just copying somebody. Well, everybody is copying somebody. There's no, like,
well, in fairness, one company, that's all they do. Well,
I get that's it. True. It is. I get it. That's all they do. But everybody is copying everybody. Just like, Cabela's Bass Pro, like the prime example, and this isn't me hating on Cabela's and Bass Pro, but it's their MO. Bring in something from another company, and if it sells well, and then Cabela's wants that price lowered so they make more money off it. And then the company goes, well, no, I can't do that because you're eating into my profits then. And then Cabela's just goes, okay, well, fine. We'll fucking make our own just like
yeah.
it. Yeah. That's just the way that the waterfowl, I would assume that's like that everywhere with fishing, anything outdoors related. Like you can only be innovative so much, right?
Yeah. See, but these companies, I'm going to
go
back on this one. Cabela's and Bass Pro, Cabela's especially, made their brand on selling stuff that hunters wanted.
Yes.
That's where you could go to get all the stuff from all the different companies. Cabela's now and Bass Pro will copy whoever's product they want. Yep. And the best, it's never as good as the best stuff.
No, never ever. It's always cheaper. It's always a cheaper.
But you buy it because it's there now.
Yeah.
So
well, and there's and the other thing, and I do think this, and again, people can disagree with me, but go to Cabela. It's easy to go to Cabela's, right? Because it's all right there. It's there. You don't have to do the research. If you need a fucking ground blind, you get a ground blind. You need decoys, you get decoys. You need a lanyard, you get a lanyard. Everything is right there. And then you just fucking pull it off the shelf and there's no thinking. You can do everything all under one roof, right?
Yep. Well,
so
I ordered new boots this week.
From Cabela's?
From Cabela's, yeah. They're muck boots, though.
Well, we had, and Eric, this is, I don't know if you've listened to our show a lot, but this is how this show goes, and we'll be all over the fucking place.
Oh, yeah.
But
ADHD in us.
Yeah.
Well, 100%.
Earlier this week or last week that Mark dropped that fucking lacrosse is selling boots at like 80% off, and we were like, what? So we're all on these pages, and I'm like, it's not loading for me. And Craig's like, it loads breaks for me, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? How come I can't get on this site? And yeah, it was a scam. Yeah.
It's a scam site that was said. It's called Lacrosse Boots Canada, but there was boots had two S's.
Yeah.
So, and everything on the site was $135.
Yeah.
What a steal.
$800 waiters.
Yeah. What a steal.
$135.
Yeah. That's a shit show, we live in. It's so easy for these websites to come up and fucking pump your credit card in.
I got jammed at Christmas time buying stuff for my wife.
Did you really?
Oh.
Yep. I got my money back. Like, I had to get a new credit card, whatever else. But yeah,
right.
Some of them are still going on, right? Like, to try and find the differences between them, it's near impossible.
It is. Well, in
they
that
do
case,
a good job. They definitely do a good job.
In that case, they just added an S on the boots.
Yeah.
And you don't care because you're looking at the price.
No.
The lacrosse website is lacrosse footwear.
Yeah.
Oh. It's not lacrosse boots.
Oh. Oh, okay. So,
that's another thing. But Eric, one thing you've got going for you is you got some ingenuity going on. You're creating things that are your own.
That's
so,
right.
So, and like you said, like the boys are saying, imitation is a serious form of flattery. But if you can keep doing those kind of little things, I mean, it can only be good for you.
Well,
yeah. Yeah,
I tell
you're putting out your own ideas. You're not. Yes, everybody has a decoy bag. So yeah, you have a decoy bag, but you're making it better by putting your own little innovations in it, right?
Yeah. Something else we changed on our bags, which was kind of cool, because at the show I got to do the whole demo. Our bags are a specific height, as well as our straps. So it doesn't matter how tall you are. I'm telling this to guys that are looking at me like this, right? They're 5'3", 5'4", and I'm talking to guys that are 6'4" at the same time. Doesn't matter how tall you are, the bags are designed, they actually position this, so the bottom of the bag is always just above your knee. So when you're walking with a bag full of 5-6 dozen decoys, you're not kicking it with your calf.
Yep.
I have the bag that everybody else has, and it is the biggest pain in the ass when you're walking through. You got your, if you're not wearing waders, but you're wearing all your gear, it's cold as shit. You're walking through the corn and you're kicking your fucking decoy bag the whole time, and you're trying to lift it up, right? You're lifting it up. What a pain in the ass. So that was one of the things that we implemented into these bags. just as default, because it's a pain in the ass. It's and then when I'm telling guys this, they're like, oh yeah, like that makes sense. And like some little guys are going, you know, some shorter guys are going, yeah, well, I'm only 5 feet, right?
Yeah.
Put the bag on their shoulder, and where does it sit? Right above their knee. And then they get that oh shit moment. So we had a good handful of guys right then and there go, all right, I'll order a bag.
Right.
So that was really cool to see. And again, like I said earlier, like a picture of a goose is a picture of a goose. Sometimes you're going to have different board, a little bit of a different image, a different flocking, this, that, whatever. A goose is a goose. We're just trying to do things different enough that people will remember that and go, yeah, these guys did that. So when somebody goes and they go to copy that and they go to replicate it, and maybe they put their own little spin on it, like something like this. I don't know what someone else is going to do. Add a carabiner, a clip, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I thought about it. We didn't, because once you start adding springs and fucking anything mechanical, it's going to break.
Mm-hmm.
This is a dumb, dumb product. This is a dumb, dumb product.
It's no moving parts.
No moving parts. If you break this, you've had a weird day. You know what I mean?
And for those who haven't seen, Eric has the floating decoy daddy hook.
Yeah. That's the new one that we're just launching. Like, we're going to put on the website in the next couple of days. And that one is very similar. It's all aluminum. And this is all going to be, have a foam cap on it. So it's all going to be like a rounded foam grip.
Yeah.
And it'll float. So if you're in a boat, it's longer. It's about, I think it's 22 inches of the measurement. So you'll be able to, instead of having to get your boat right on it, your canoe, your kayak, whatever you're shooting out of, and having to dip your hand in the water to grab the decoy or the decoy line, you'll be able to use that hook and just scoop, 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 scoop,
dragging
into the boat.
For a lot of the kayak hunters, because like kayaks, like you don't want to be leaning too much. You run the risk of tipping and falling out, whatever the case may be. For kayak hunters, that new floating decoy hook, that's going to be the cat's ass.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We're stoked for that.
I go in my canoe on like the southern end of Georgian Bay. So it's can be pretty big at times. And, you know, you're trying to
just
towards you with a paddle and stuff like that. Right. And,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Having something a little more helpful would be a lot safer, if nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all we're trying to do. Like, it's a pretty simple industry at the end of the day. Right.
You're right.
So being able to come up with these little things, I think it will set us apart. And then, when somebody goes to replicate that, people will be like, ah, you know, that's, oh yeah, Decoy Daddy. Like they started that, like they did that a year ago, and this is the follow up to it. So it'll happen. It'll happen. Just like everybody, you know, somebody was the first guy for everything. And when I'm going through all this stuff, we're obviously searching patents. And if you've ever got time, you got to go on Google. I think it's google.patents, and you just type in hunting decoy. The shit that people have invented over the years is decoy, like rigs going back into the 80s and 90s, and like just bizarre ideas, but you're like, hey, that'd be kind of cool if you had it. And they have patents today.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's pretty neat to see all the stuff that really is available. Our market's kind of choked out a little bit. So being able to bring some different stuff to the table is a lot of fun, and people love it. I can't say enough.
I think that is a real good point on what Mark brought up with that ingenuity thing and what you're doing, right? Because playing on this whole thing where everybody is imitating everybody and you can only innovate so much, the only way to get ahead is to add those little creature comforts, right? Because, you know, to a guy or a girl that's just getting started in the waterfowling world, well, they haven't been out. They haven't had that decoy bag smacking against their calves or kicking it or trying to pull 500 fucking silhouettes out of the ground at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so they don't have that experience. But then there's another group of people that they're looking for something that's going to save them 10 minutes on setup.
Well, outfitters, right? Outfitters that are running silos.
Fucking me. Like, I'm not even an outfitter, but like, if I can save 5 minutes, if I get five more minutes to sit in the blind before first light and just sit there and have my coffee and just relax and make sure everything is squared away, that means a lot to me. That 5 minutes, it means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to a lot of other fellows too. So that's something. But the one thing, and you haven't talked about it yet, and normally I wouldn't bring it up, but you had it at the refuge, so I will bring it up, was those waterproof bags. And I'm going to tell you that is something. Decoy bags don't get me excited. Blind bags don't get me excited. But fucking waterproof bags, that gets me excited, with tape zippers, tape seams. When there's molly on it, that shit gets me excited, because now that's something that's the next stage for me, right? Like, okay, I need to have, fuck, like when I was using my boat all the time, I had a bag of an extra suit of clothes that was always up in the bow of the boat, just in case, right? Because you never fucking know, and you needed to have that. You need to keep that
waterproof. And that's exactly why I went down that route with waterproof bags. And you can go and get a regular backpack, camo, whatever.
Yeah.
But I said, fuck that, because once you put that extra pair of socks in it, and then you go to put them on and they're sopping wet, what a day ruiner. What a day ruiner right off the bat. So being able to produce, to make those bags, and design them and have so much input on them and really get to mold them to what we want, it's a lot of fun. I had no idea this was going to be so much fun. And cool to bring that to people at, a good price.
Yeah.
And local. Like, it's coming right out of us. So we're really excited to be able to do that stuff. And it's all based off of experience. Like, when we're hunting, oh, this sucks. Like, how do we fix this? And now every single day we're looking at, I look at everything a little bit different. Is I'm not the only guy struggling with this. Mm-hmm. We're not. Like, I'm not the only one that hated picking up silos. I hate picking up hard bodies.
Yeah.
Everyone hates picking up hard bodies. Right. Yeah. So, the hook is just, that's our, the start of it. That's just the start of it. I think we're going to do a lot more.
If I can give you some advice, it'll be this. Do not go to the tractor supply company and buy a shitload of grain bags and throw your sticker on them and start selling them for $80.
Yeah, didn't that start some shit?
Oh, boy, did it ever start some shit?
The emotions that fucking pulled out of grown men is fantastic.
Dude, but that it's goes...
the fanboys.
Goes to show you where the majority... where the majority of the hunters, the majority of the customers, the ones that are spending money, that goes to show you that, hey, listen, something new and shiny is cool, but listen, don't try to take advantage of me, and don't try to get my money for the sake of getting my fucking money, because I can go see a farmer and get those things for fucking free before they burn them at the end of the season. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Just to get him out of his way. Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you don't know what we're talking about here,
you live under a rock.
in the waterfowling world. Yeah. You're living under a rock, because that certainly kicked up a lot of stink.
Buddy,
and you're right, Mark, as it should, because people call them out, and this is, you take the good with the bad with the internet, right? So the internet and social media and all those things can grow a business. But it can also fucking backfire if you're doing something stupid or bullshit or shady or whatever.
Fuck. The internet's the worst thing that was ever invented.
I don't know, man. Internet porn was that was a fucking game changer.
Pretty neat.
I'm telling you, I wish it was around when I was fucking 14 years old.
My internet showed up in the mail. It was called AOL.
AOL, yeah.
Well, fuck, the kids these days will never know the struggles.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say, Eric, and you'd already touched on it. It was one question I had was, so I just wanted to comment on you going ahead with this, right? Because it's one thing to have an idea, but then to be able to kind of start moving forward and putting your own money into something and making it successful already and seeing some of the cool ideas coming out of it. It's not something I could imagine myself ever doing, like trying to, take those chances like that and move forward for the sake of an idea, really, but. Good for you. It's awesome to see.
No, I appreciate it. It's been, it was one of those things where I tell this to my fiance all the time. I'd rather try and fail than not try and and watch someone else do it in front of you and go, fuck, I could have done that, right?
You miss really cool. 100% of the chances you don't take.
You do. And you know what else?
Wayne Gretzky.
You know what else? No plan survives first contact.
Fucking so right. Atta boy.
So far we've been pretty lucky with, you know, things have worked out to our favor, but thinking like that has helped us a lot anticipate problems that we're going to have. So I think we're doing a good job of it right now. And it's scary. I'll tell you, it's scary because when you have tens of thousands of dollars dumped into this, it's a little bit of a butt puckering moment. See? Yeah. There we go.
Makes your butt pucker.
It does. And it makes you work a little harder, right? It makes you work harder because I'm in this enough that I can't fail. You know what I mean? I got a family that relies on me. Yeah. I got to make this work. And I'm fortunate that I have the support from my fiance. She's, if you guys look on the Instagram, you can literally see where her name's Sierra, where she stepped in and started making posts on the page because they're way better than what I was pumping out.
She's right? Social media advisor.
There yeah. Like, and like, I didn't know she had these abilities. I was like, where the fuck did you learn to do this? She's like, I didn't mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So no, it's cool. I appreciate that. To be able to do this, and it's going, it's happening, and meeting some wicked people like in the refuge. You understand, Damien? Like, I didn't know anybody. I talked to you over Instagram. Yeah. I didn't know Rich. I didn't know Marco. I met Marco over other reasons, like we know. But I didn't know anybody there. And by the end of the weekend, fuck, it was like I had five new good friends, and it was really cool. Like guys that stayed true, like Fab and Zach, like it was a good time. And Dan was hilarious.
Yeah.
So we had a good time. I got a nice video of Dan muff diving at the restaurant.
Really?
Yeah.
I think your definition of muff diving is a lot different than my definition of muff diving.
Yeah. This one cost about this one only cost about $13. And nobody got divorced over it.
Okay. All right.
When we're done this, you're going to do a share screen.
Yeah. Big time. No, it's good. It's good, Eric, buddy. Like it really is. And you hit on something that's it's hard to see nowadays. And this is me saying it. Not that I'm super experienced or I'm lying in the tooth in this world, this waterfowl world. But it can be a very, very cutthroaty world, right? Where someone is just waiting for you to fucking to screw up or wait for their opportunity to strike at you. But yet, at the refuge, you know, you were there, Craig Mintz were there. So that's two companies straight in competition with one another. Final Approach was there. Final Approach does silhouettes now, and they've come out with stuff, right? And everybody just understood their role. Like, hey, listen, there's enough there for all of us.
There is, yeah.
And you know what some people, I got to be careful how I say this. I don't want to downgrade your product, and that's not what I'm getting at. But there's a product for everybody. Right. Yeah. So maybe people don't want to spend X number of dollars on decoys, but or maybe they can't spend X number of dollars on decoys, but yet yours are coming in at a price point. Hey, fuck, I can afford these and it gets me out hunting. And at the end of the day, as a community, as a waterfowl hunting community, that we just need more people out hunting. Whatever that takes to get them out. And buying bird stamps and eating those gas station burritos and supporting all the fucking small businesses along the way, the gas stations and hotels and restaurants and all that shit. That's what's important, right? Because we just need more people. We need more guys. We need more girls. We need more kids. We need more people out. And the refuge was a good example of a group of people that were able to come together, and operate under one roof, and still achieve their goals. And I think everybody, you know, unless people are lying to me, everybody had a great experience at the refuge. So I think everybody walked away fairly happy with what they left with, right? And so for you, again, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth or nothing, but for you as a new company, like you said, you didn't fucking know nobody. And you come in there and, like, I hazard to say, I don't think there was a more, maybe Tiny Goose. You and Tiny Goose, I would say, was probably the two busiest booths in the refuge. And that was just, that was just from me walking around and seeing, you know what, like everybody, everybody was busy, but you and Tiny Goose and two new businesses, two new startups here in Ontario, doing their own thing, right? So, and it's awesome to see. And Craig sort of touched on it. You know, it's got to be scary. I know, like, I didn't go in when I started, I didn't go in with the money that you've had to invest, and I know how scary it was for me, so I can't even fucking imagine how scary it is for you. But, you know, good on you, man. You're doing it, and you're doing your thing, and you're not just pumping out crap. That's the important thing. You're not just pumping out something.
I don't want to do that. I mean, I don't want to do the whole copy paste thing. Like I said, I was just before, it's a goose is a goose, a picture of a goose, a picture of a goose. However, if you can do it a little bit of a, in a different style, and you can change things up a little bit, and that's what we're here to do. But the show was great. Like, there was so much movement on the Friday. Like, the Friday blew me away, and I was like, damn, tomorrow's gonna be different, right? Because and then you heard that the parking at one point got
shut down,
nobody to park and all that shit, and I'm sitting there like, shit, like, this is gonna be amazing. And we left, I think, with 13 boxes of decoys.
How many did you come with?
We went with 78, I think it was.
Jesus, that's a good
78, wow. Something like that. It was under 80. It was under 80. I think it was 78 boxes.
Yeah. For a new guy.
Yeah.
And that's not an insult to you, but, like, that's a new product that's hitting the market, and you sold, you know, 60 odd boxes, like Phil said, 60 odd boxes of.
And we sold, like, I don't know if you guys knew, but we sold some stuff. We had the Funky Flock, we were calling it, which was kind of like, it wasn't our premium. Like, it was all the same decoys, but it was different quantities of different poses. It wasn't our typical poses. So we started selling that, and it was discounted a little bit. It was $110 for a box of 13. And guys who were there just adding numbers to their spread, they're like, oh, yeah, I'll take that. I brought 20 of those. So it was actually 78 plus the 20, because I brought those on the Friday. I brought those on the Friday because I had to come home and get them. So I guess it'd be more than that. I got to run the report and figure it out. But that was cool. And then we sold the ducks, and we sold out of ducks, which was pretty cool to see. And
that's awesome.
We introduced our fully flocked stuff. If you guys didn't see that, that was fun.
No, I seen that.
Yeah.
So what? So what? Without you giving away too much, you know, like, what are you working on now? So, like, what's keeping you at the drawing board right now that you're getting excited about? If you can talk about it.
Yeah. No, we can. So we're getting into snow geese. We're getting into snow geese. The draw and the traction I've got out of Quebec came out of nowhere. I had no clue what to expect out of that. And it's consistently guys reaching out, hey, like, I've got, you know, 10,000 decoys. I want to add 3,000 to it. And I'm thinking, where the fuck do you keep that?
Yeah.
That's not an Eric problem.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not. As long as you got the finance, honey, I'll send it to you. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, as long as you got a mailbox.
Yeah. So snow geese is coming, which is going to be fun, and socks, wind socks. In terms of wind socks, I don't know if you guys ever shoot over them. Some guys love them. Some guys are like, nope, don't touch them.
No, I like them.
So we're not over
them,
and
I actually own them too.
Mm.
There you go. Okay, we're not gonna do the standard, right? It's not gonna look like anybody else's sock. We're changing the design. And so much so that it's been about a year of talking about these fucking wind socks, and I still have not got a finished prototype that I like.
That's good, man. That's good that you're not rushing shit.
Yeah, we're not doing it. I won't release a product that I'm not proud of, right? Like everything that I've shown, I've been very proud of. And I'm not going to do that with the socks, right? If it's not right, it's not right. So I have a vision of what I want. I have the way it gets deployed is very important to me. The way it can get stored is very important to me. And the way you can assemble it. Because when you get some of these and you got to put the screws in on the side, I'm not doing that. And I'll tell you, a guy who's buying 5,000 decoys, he ain't doing that.
No.
So we're working on a design for that, which is pretty cool. And then we obviously have the hook and the extended hook and the floating hook bags. The waterproof bags are going to be changing a little bit. I know you like them, but they're changing a little bit for the better.
Yeah.
We'll be adding some pouches and stuff where, you know, you'll be able to see your phone and slide it right in the front. So when the wife texts you and says, "Where the fuck are you?" you can just decline. Make it easy. Yeah.
Brilliant.
We're working on some of that. We're changing our boxes. I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to get into it because it's still in its infancy. But in our next shipment, we're going to have different boxes, which are going to be very, very cool. And the reason for is boxes are throwaway right now. Like when you get a box of decoys, doesn't matter what box, you're going to take your decoys out. You're going to take the box, break it down, throw it in the recycling bin. Our next boxes, you're not going to do that with, which is really cool.
I think I know what you're going to do because it's something that I've thought about why people don't do it. So I think you're going to put a fucking patterning board on the inside of your box so you can pattern your gun.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Fucking nailed it.
I've seen it. There's a fucking pizza joint that does that. It's like an Alaska, I think.
Yes, Bill.
Yeah. Alaskan pizza joint puts a target inside the lid.
Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's what we're going to have.
Brilliant.
What's the timeline? Like, how long ago did you first get the idea and start working on it?
I probably started this. When was this? We launched it in September. So it would have been about a year. So in September it would have been about a year.
Okay. So that's just over year, that. Number that's a year from, sorry, year Craig, I'm jumping in on you, but that's a year from you saying, you know what? Maybe we can do it. Maybe we can do it ourselves. That's you reaching out to a supplier, going through all your iterations on changes and shit to where you had something that you were happy to hunt over about a year.
Yeah. Exactly. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So, and it's been fun. It was kind of off and on. There was times where it was like, not lose the motivation, but like, I also have another job. Like I've got a salary job. I work every day and it's timely. It takes a lot of time out of your life. So yeah, it took a long time. There was times where like, I didn't do anything for a week. Right. And then there was times where it was like, that's all I talked about was fucking ducks and geese.
Well, you go on vacation from your paying job.
Yeah.
To work at your non-paying job.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had to take two vacation days for the sportsman show, which was hilarious. Right. Yeah. They're like, what are you doing? I'm going to sell ducks. I'm going to sell pictures of ducks and geese, I guess. Right. Right. Yeah. So, it's been a wicked ride. And, you know, as we touched on at the beginning, like we have competition, we have local competition, we have competition that's caused, you know, some confusion in the market with names and stuff. And one thing that we've said is like, we're going to run our business, how we're going to run our business. I know where we're going to be in 5 years and I know the path that I'm going to take to do that.
Yeah.
And there's not a small company or a big company that's going to kind of alter that. Like we're focused on running our business. And if I do what I think I'm going to do and I partner with the right people and I work on the right products and I do the right thing for our business, our business will grow organically.
Yeah.
And we spoke to some people at the show and they loved it. People were asking me after we were talking, can I be an ambassador? Right. Yeah. So it's nice. It's then that was guys that actually got to spend half hour, 40 minutes chatting me, chat with me, shooting the shit. And they, and those are guys, I'm like, yeah, like that's the kind of person I'd want to bring on. So
100%.
It'll happen. It'll happen.
Yeah. No, it will. Nothing, Rome didn't get built in a day, buddy. So it will come. And just keep, you know, keep going the way you're going, because you're obviously like, you're doing things right. And by no means am I in any position to critique how you're running your business. But from what I see, it looks like you're doing everything fucking right, because you're selling product. The one question I had, is your plan, and maybe you haven't even thought about this, but is your plan to remain direct to consumer, or do you hope that someday, you know, stores will pick up your product and then, you know, they'll be ordering in, you know, 500 dozen at the beginning of the year, and then they sell on your behalf? Like, what's your plan there?
So our thing with that is right now we're staying direct to consumer. We had some companies come and approach us at the show actually and ask us, and would we be interested in that? And like, I think I would entertain it, but strategically. Right. You know, we're based out of Hamilton. I don't need somebody in my postal code selling my own product. I also, it comes to the whole integrity thing, where I want to know about your business just as much as you want to know about mine. If you're going to be selling it, well, I'm going to call your store 10 times in the course of a week. And if I don't get, if that phone doesn't get picked up every single time, I'm not going to put my product in your store. And I've done that already in the last couple of weeks since the show. And I haven't, the phone call has never been picked up.
Oh, wow.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of an interesting thing is, and that's so my goal, and it reflects on me. If somebody goes to Bob's Sporting Supply because they sell our product and Bob doesn't pick up the phone, and Bob closes 10 minutes early on a Thursday, you know, we will entertain it, I think, strategically. But right now with our website, and it's like, it's nice to have brick and mortar, but at the same time, our world during COVID, it went online. So everyone's online that's buying this, right? So it doesn't hurt us to not be in a store. Could it increase our volumes? Yeah. Could it increase cash flow because a retailer is going to buy 500 dozen up front, I'm going to get that cash up front, and I can flip that and I can work with that as working capital. Yeah, there's benefits to it, but are those benefits worth hinging my business on? Because if you're not going to pick up the phone, right, they're not going to go to you the next week to pick it up. They'll fucking just order it online.
Yeah.
So we thought about it, but we are staying in Canada. We will not ship our product to the States. Sorry to all our American guys. And the reason for that is that's kind of why we got into this. To buy a box of most of the guys that come out of the States, it's higher exchange, shipping, duties, gets to your door. My mom, a couple of years ago, she bought me some decoys, and it was $320 for a dozen by the time it got to her doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's, you know what I mean? So our goal is to keep it in Canada, Canada only. We've had one guy reach out that wants some in the States, and we've just said, you know, and it was an opportunity that could have helped the business financially very, very quickly, and we declined it.
Yeah.
So we'll see, you know, we'll see what the future brings. But as of right now, like, we're already staying on the websites, but we might look at stuff like, you know, out East, right? And Peterborough, or like Quebec areas where it makes sense to maybe have a retailer.
Right.
Because it's expensive for us to ship there, and we don't want to put that customer, that burden on the customer. If it makes sense logistically for the customer and the business, then yeah. If it only makes sense for me, it doesn't make sense for you, then I don't, you're not, you know what I mean? It's got to be.
I was going to mention this when you brought up that you had some interest from Quebec. There's a Facebook group out of Quebec called Black Sky Waterfowl, and they were talking about your product on there this week.
Yeah.
And now
I didn't see that one.
It was either maybe it was last week, but anyways,
like I saw one like a month ago, somebody sent it to me and they were like,
This was like last week or at the beginning of this week. And they were talking about it, and my French is as good as what my English is. So I had no idea what they were saying. It wasn't bad though. You know what I mean? Like it was, hey, it would, I'm paraphrasing, but it was sort of kind of along the lines like, hey guys, check this out. This is a new decoy company out of Ontario. And this guy had product. So he
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like he had he
yeah, was we've saying, shipped tons there. And it
yeah.
And it was like that. Like overnight, one night, it was like I wake up in the morning, I get our website report, and it's like you have 6 new orders. And I'm going through the addresses because I'm wondering how much it's going to cost to ship. And it's Quebec, 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 Quebec. And I'm like, what the fuck happened in Quebec? Did they did they get a new hunting season? I don't understand. It was weird.
Yeah, absolutely. But that just goes to show what word of mouth. Like, you can do whatever the fuck you want, really, right? Like, you can be on social media. You can dump all kinds of money into marketing. And I'm not saying that it's not worth it and all that stuff. But if you... if you can get a product into somebody's hands that another person trusts their judgment, then you're in, right?
Because that's
how it starts, right? It's one dude that, hey, listen, if Phil tells me this is a good product, well, I'm going to go buy it. You know what I mean? So, and that's probably what's going to happen with you, you know, with Quebec and any other province that you get into now. It'll be someone that'll say, hey, listen, I tried these. They're awesome, and they're a good price and the whole bit. And then
we've got
that's how it starts.
So these are our new.
New.
You can see
never
here.
Never seen before.
Never seen before.
First time on the Webernet.
See the feather details?
Yeah.
So that's going to be on all of our decoys in the future. That's obviously we had to create some more differentiating factors, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that was a quick one that we did, that we put that together, and so that's going to help separate us, I think, too, but also just provide a nicer looking decoy, I think, moving forward. And we're not going to have 10 different options. We're going to keep this small and simple. So the KISS method is keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
So we're going to have one SKU, and as we develop it and as it gets better, we'll, you know, it's just going to be the new standard. It's not going to be, you know, there's always the Econo series, if you will, for I think every company has a non-flocked whatever. We might do it. I'm not certain if we'll do that. I really like the idea of only having flocked heads. I love that.
Hey, listen, Dave Smith don't have an Econo series, and he's doing he's doing just fucking fine.
Yeah,
so.
Man, those decoys are wicked. Eh?
Oh, fuck. Apples to oranges.
I had a lot of guys come up and be like, "Why don't you do hard bodies?" And you know, Dave Smith. I go, "Yeah, but he does it different. That's just a lot different. Like just fucking fantastic decoys. And I hope that we're the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're different. They're because they were at CWS, right? They had them in the booth there, I think. And I saw a lot of those walk out of the show the other day, and I didn't pick one up. I should have, because I can't find my believe it or not, I can't find my decoys in this shit show. there's my hand.
That's awesome.
So, anyways, well,
You know, we are getting close to that hour mark, boys.
We're actually over.
Well, we're over just a little bit, but this is a good chance now. Like any last minute stuff. So anything that you want to get out there, Eric, that you haven't had a chance to tell people in already, or then even for Mark, Phil, and Craig, if there's anything that you're curious about, like now would be the time to ask those questions, right?
Yeah. I got questions, comments, concerns, but they're going to be offline.
Oh
yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Ooh, those are fun.
I talked to the Toronto Sportsman Show general manager today, and I got a couple points to put up that we'll talk about offline as well. It's too early to talk about them online. Mark, Craig, you guys got anything?
No, I just wanted to say it was really cool to kind of hear your thoughts on things and your process, and the idea of focusing on the products that you want to do well. So I think a lot of companies, and not just in waterfowl industry, just in general, they try to get too many things going on, too many SKUs, and you end up with a whole bunch of things that none of them are good. So it's really cool to kind of hear your background on it and your outlook on things and your approach to it. So,
I appreciate it.
Good meeting, Eric. You got a good positive vibe about your company, and I hope through the ups and downs in the time to come, you can maintain that, because nothing ever goes perfect all the time. But
that's right.
I hope through it all that it works out for you. You got some good product going coming out, and from what I see, it's some original stuff, which is can be refreshing in the waterfowl world.
So yeah,
I wish you all the best with that.
Oh, I appreciate it, boys. No, it's great.
And I think that, and I think that's what Merck. I think that's what people that have been, again, people that have been lying in the tooth in this chasing birds as a passion. I think that's what people are looking for now, right? They're not looking for the wheel to be invented again. They just, hey, listen, this works, but we could tweak it to make it work better. And that's the thing. I think that's what a lot of people are looking forward to, right? And it's a lot of the reason why you're getting the success that you're getting right now is because you're not trying to, you know, flip the world upside down. You're just making some subtle changes that, you know, makes life easier for you. So if it makes life easier for you, 9 times out of 10, it'll make it life easier for me.
Absolutely.
Right. So, but yeah, a quick round the table. Merck sort of kind of did his, but, you know, we'll go quick around the table. We'll get the last word to Eric, and then we'll close this episode off. Phil?
Eric, absolute pleasure to have you on. Like, I've been talking to your buddy Jamie for quite some time about who's this new guy that you're pushing and whatnot.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's had nothing but the best of words you know, your endeavor and whatnot. And he speaks the world of you and your product, and that's coming from Jamie. I know that it's a solid voice. I know. Speaking from Jamie's point of things, wish you nothing but the best. It's awesome seeing, like, you know, someone come that's like, this is going to be Canadian only. You know, like, obviously there's companies in the States that are states and states only, whatever, and like, and being living here in Ontario, we get screwed on the daily shipping shit, whatever the case may be. I did get a small peek at your bags, like your waterproof bags at the show. Really interested to see how those develop, because like being like an actual waterfowl hunter, like I do a lot of water hunting and stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously keeping shit dry is essential. So I'll be really to see how that product line of your stuff develops.
We'll get some in your hands when we get them finalized. After these changes, we'll get a bag in your hands and go test it and bring it out to the real world.
So, yeah, it'll get used and abused, and then it'll probably lost and broken and get lied about.
Perfect.
Well,
it goes with the nature of my job.
Well,
we'll lie about it.
You could get a new decoy bag, and then me and Merck could come and make sure we put bloody geese all over.
Well, I sold one of those already, thank God.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Brand spanking new silo bags. I turn around, there's 15 bloody
guys complaining about getting goose blood.
Beautiful.
Fucking
deep.
Yeah.
They're crispy. Doesn't even deserve them.
Craig, to you, buddy.
Yeah, nothing else to add. Again, just really cool to hear your perspectives and insights and just kind of your process throughout it. So, great chat with you.
You too, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
Merck, you got anything else, buddy?
No, I'm waiting for the video.
To you, Eric, buddy, finish her off.
Guys, I was super stoked to be honest and chat with you guys. It's been awesome, and be given a platform like yours, Damien, to talk to you guys and get our brand out and reinforce our, you know, our values, our brand values and our brand equity and what we're doing in the future and our brand ambassador program that may come down the line. It's been great, man. I appreciate you guys having me on, and it's been great chatting with you. For sure.
No, but absolutely. And thank you for taking some time and hanging out with us. Because let's face it, we're not everybody's cup of tea. And you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say, I think Craig is doing all right on the show. I think he's fitting in pretty good.
Doing it. He's doing it.
He's got a couple of weeks left on his probationary period.
He's not in. Well, actually, we got to talk about this, his probationary period, because he sent a fucking message out the other day. I think next week he's not coming on the show, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
He's got something more important to do than to come hang out and chat with us, apparently.
Two days in.
Two shows in.
God damn it. fucking union workers.
Yeah, I remember, I'm a government employee. I can't do
that. I don't know whether to call him a half miler or a part timer.
Hey, listen, I done 20 years in the government. I know how hard the fucking government works. So
it's stuck.
Yeah. I do want, I've got to get this little shot in, and I've been saving this to get this shot in at Phil for the entire show. So everybody, you seen me, anybody that was watching the episode tonight, you seen me smoking another cigar, the same one that I had last week. But my good friend James, and I'm not going to say his last name because I absolutely butchered it last week, and Rob Borg and James actually messaged me laughing. Hey,
we can't fuck up his company name. Got to Bite. They make wicked salmon lures, salmon flies. Check that shit out.
Yeah.
If you like fishing for salmon.
You didn't fuck it up, but Damien would.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably would have. The little dig is that James bought me some cigars from the cigar shop, or the ones that I like, and sent them to me. So same as the one that you have that you haven't tried yet, Phil. And he said, make sure you let Phil know that while you're sitting here enjoying a nice cigar, he's still got that 18 and a half foot boat in storage. So I was like, I can do that. Well, it's not in the fucking water, is what
it's storage. It's sitting in the driveway.
Yeah, it's not in the water. That's
so the water doesn't count.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is not a boat.
Fuck. Well played. Fuck, you're on fire tonight, Phil. Fuck you.
Two for two.
Everybody, this is Union 0430, episode 179. We are not experts, and we'll never pretend to be experts. We're a group of friends that love hanging out, talking anything duck hunting, and we get to bring some pretty cool guests on the show as well. So big love. Surround yourself with good people. Check out the Decoy Daddy. I promise you, you will be happy with what you see, and that I'm confident of. Big love. Surround yourself with good people. Until next week.